We're getting back to 2 Timothy.
We're going to take a review from 8 to 9, 8, 9, and 10, hopefully this morning. Be not thou for ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. The word testimony, I don't know if we've covered this, but the word testimony is the word martio, which means the same word that they get martyr from, the same word that a martyr is one who was killed in the name of the Lord. So the testimony of our Lord includes your death. Without testifying of your death and his life, you have no you have no testimony. It's just philosophy and words and self-improvement crap. So be thou therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Amen?
That's like legacy, kind of, isn't it?
What?
Legacy, would that be a similar way of looking at it?
Legacy, no. Testimony is death.
Well, testimony is your whole being, including your death, whereas your legacy is what you leave behind. And the story,
yeah, it's the opposite of your legacy. The testimony of our Lord was his death. You're not ashamed of it, because in order for you to partake of this mystery, it requires your death. So if you're ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, then you're preaching how-tos instead of his sufficiency, his total presence. Amen? What's going on, Scott? Well, I promise you, if you're not dead, and if you're not abandoned, then it's the Antichrist that's living in you and controlling you. The idea of free will is ludicrous. Until you know that free will is non-existent, there are only two wills in the universe, the will of God and the will of Satan. As long as you're still in your own will, then you know you've resurrected the evil one from his deadly head wound. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm. Isn't it also just basic knowledge, whether you feel dead or alive, isn't the issue? It's the fact that you have been crucified with Christ.
Yeah, but
if you want to think about it, then that's what you think.
Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. What?
Taking every thought into the captivity.
All right, but let's go to Philippians chapter 2.
I guess I know just by knowing that all men died on the cross.
Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who... Being is not in the text, by the way. It should say, who in the form of God thought it not robbery or something to be grasped to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That phrase, made himself of no reputation, is one word in the Greek. It's kino. And it means 100% emptiness. Your nothingness. He made himself of nothing, so that his faith was perfected only in every aspect of his life was toward God. That's a biggie. And until that penetrates, then you're going to try to apprehend the mystery by your feelings and by your thought process. As long as you're trying to apprehend by thought, you are using that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. It can't happen. You have to be apprehended by it. That is faith. Because in your emptying, if he's not there, you're dead. And until that's been tested in you, you just, it's just a philosophy. And stop and think of the unbelievable numbers of times when you felt that the Lord wasn't there and things weren't going the way you wanted to, so you had to lean on your own arm of understanding. You had to go to your thought process to find a solution. That is heresy. And that resurrects the evil one from his deadly head wound. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You're waiting on him for every single aspect of your life. Again, it happened just the other day. I think it was, I can't remember who it was with. Oh, it was with that guy that Pat brought. If I did what you're saying, Ollie, I wouldn't. I'd just go sit in a chair. My response is, then you have a form of godliness, but deny his effectiveness, his ability. Now, how long do you wait?
However long it takes.
You never have to make it. If you ever make a decision, you know you've left the mystery. This has to be manifest in every single area of your life, in family, in raising children, in your work. And it will not make sense to anyone. Well, this sometime, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going backwards again.
Not time, though.
Everybody there? Chapter 13, verse 5. Remember again, I'll repeat it. Anytime something is repeated over and over in one verse or in a series of verses, it's unbelievably important. This is the only time I know of in the scriptures where you're exhorted to examine yourself. Verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Know you not. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves or prove to yourself. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Unless you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is in you, then you cannot repent, because all you can do is I'm sorry for something and I'll do better next time. That's the repentance of the world. Repentance is total abandonment of you. So examine yourselves, prove to your own self, know you not your own selves, how that Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. And a reprobate is one who is incapable of godly repentance, because you don't know that there's another life within you that is truth, is way, is peace, is life, is everything. So all you become is a victim of the universe. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
All right. Back to Thessalonians. 2 Timothy. Be not therefore ashamed of the gospel or the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Again, once you really live by the testimony of our Lord, I promise you, you will suffer affliction in every single area of your life. but it's the affliction that leadeth. You're being put to the test not for the purposes of disapproving, but you're being put to the test for the purposes of approving. There's no more wrath. Wrath is gone. There's no more forgiveness because you're dead. You don't have to worry about forgiving yourself because you're dead. And as long as you see others as dead, then you can forgive everybody from the heart. And know that every single smallest detail of your life from before your birth has been ordained of God, and all your works were wrought in Him to bring you now and to stay in now. There's no history and there's no future in eternity. And remember this standpoint. That's what you've spent your life looking from the bottom up. Now look from the top down. And everything takes place at the same instant. Because there's no time in eternity. So that's why you make no reference to your past. You make no reference to how you did something previously. Now do you know what it means to be dead? All right. Who hath saved us? Remember, he didn't save Gary Buckner. He saved the seed, the sperma of God, the Son in whom all His love is expressed and indwelleth. He saved him from you. Now He saved him, and He is protecting. Everything that happens is for His sake, for the gospel's sake, for the sake of Christ. You are out of the picture. Who has saved us and called or named us with a holy invitation, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. The gospel cannot be any clearer than in those two or three verses. Now, can you maybe see why revisiting this was necessary? Gary? Anything come up in all this?
It's perfectly clear the dichotomy between the old man, which is just the vessel of the newer, so to speak, the pot. Resides in. You know, God overlooks a lot to protect His Son.
Now, and what He's protecting, remember, when Jesus gave, He blessed the bread, but He gave thanks for the wine. And He looked forward in time and saw each one of us perfectly knit and joined and fit together in a perfect fit, with only the abandonment of each cell, and He saw the perfect bride. So He gave thanks to the Father for His perfect bride. And that's all that's going on in time and space. Everything else isn't even commentary. It's just plot.
I feel like we're the parts of the tabernacles thrown across Moses' front yard or something.
Yeah, we are, exactly. It's not our business how it's raised. It's not our business what happens next. It's the moment you take into your own mind what you're going to do, then you've left the mystery.
That's where he talks about bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. It's not because it's impossible, but because it is possible.
Right. I mean, there's no thought that you can have that can stand against the testimony. The testimony is perfect, and you can't improve on perfection. You have been perfected by one offering, so there's no need to have any concern about yourself. His sacrifice was both eternal and infinite. You can't add to eternity. You can't improve on infinity. And the more you mess around and think about, oh, poor me, and what am I going to do next, and what do I lack, and all this other garbage that is, and I don't care, this has nothing to do with your, in fact, it has nothing to do with your intelligence, it has nothing to do with your abilities, it has to do with Him, and only Him. Well, again,
how I've relived.
But stop.
And worried.
Stop a minute. As of this instant, everything that has happened in the past, everything you've ever done was necessary to get you to this point. So you regret nothing. But if you leave this point, then you have to be judged by God by your works. And you cannot possibly, in order for you to be judged by your works according to God, you have to go over to Jerusalem, you have to rebuild the temple, you have to find the ashes of the red heifer, you have to find the Ark of the Covenant, you have to reteach all the priests how to do the infinite number of sacrifices and offerings and every aspect of the blood and the water. And you can't do it. Neither can the entire human race with every dollar that exists in the human race. That temple cannot be rebuilt, and even if it was, it would be worthless, because that which is perfect, that which the temple spoke of as a model, is come.
It's a done deal, yes.
There's no more Israel, there's no more America, there's no more male, there's no more female, there's no more bond, there's no more free, there's no more black, there's no more white. There's no more anything except Him in you as individual parts of that which is perfecting and bringing together in one the bride. Everything else is just it's not, it's less than nothing. It's not even the chaff. It's the dust after the weighing that it stayed on the scale. Remember the writing on the wall in the temple in Babylon, or it's the same writing on the walls of your minds. It's Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, and in Persian that means, or in Hebrew that means, you've been weighed in the balance and found eternally lacking. There is nothing that you can do. The night has come and no man can work. There is nothing except faith.
That's right.
What?
And that's Jesus Christ.
Faith in you. Faith is Jesus in you believing in Himself.
That's right.
Well, that did it. Take it, big guy. I'm done.
Amen.
Hey.